This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherr. Thanks for joining us. Houman Majd is a New York-based journalist. He's the son of an exiled diplomat from the Shah's regime. He's a relative of the well-connected Khatami family. His previous book, The Ayatollah Begs to Differ, took a look at what was happening in Iran. His new book, The Ministry of Guidance, Invites You Not to Stay, is an attempt to shed some light on a country America's political leaders continue to struggle with. In 2011, Houman Majd decided to do this by taking his Brooklyn-born wife, his baby, to Iran, renting an apartment in Tehran, seeing what life was like there. Houman Majd, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks.
When you get to Iran and you're thinking about where to live, I imagine some of the first things are sort of the basics. How did you find an apartment?
Yeah, well, it's apartment hunting in Tehran is really not that different from anywhere else. There's real estate brokerages and ads in the paper. But I wanted an apartment only for a year, and the best way, as it is in any city, is to ask around, ask friends if they know of anything, and that's how I ended up with an apartment. For us, the main thing was to get an apartment where the pollution was going to be less, because the pollution is rather severe in Iran, in Tehran anyway. And in the northern part of the city, the pollution is substantially better. The quality of air is actually better. And with a newborn baby, basically, that was the one priority my wife had.
How was getting cell phone service? How was getting cable TV service?
All that's very easy. Cell phone service is just like here. You can get prepaid SIM cards, and you just bring your own phone, basically, and you GSM phone. Anything that's like an AT&T phone or a T-Mobile phone works in Iran, as long as you swap out the SIM card. And I just got prepaid cards, very inexpensive. And so we had cell phones the first day. In terms of cable TV, there really isn't any cable TV. There's satellite TV, and it's illegal. But pretty much every apartment building in Tehran has satellite dishes. And if you don't have one, you call the satellite man, and he comes and he connects you up and for not very much money. And you're in business.
And how about alcohol?
Same thing. You ask around for a dealer because it's much like alcohol is like pot is in most states in America. It's illegal, but readily available, and there are dealers who are willing and happy to serve you. So again, it's just word of mouth. I mean, you ask your friends who they get their liquor from, and you get the number and you get an introduction, and again, you're in business.
I'm deviating now, but pot, is pot like getting pot here too?
Pot is a little bit more difficult, but it's also readily available. Not as readily available as alcohol is, but it is also pretty, especially younger generation seem to have no problems getting pot, any kind of drugs, really. I mean, there's plenty of crystal meth, there's cocaine, there's heroin, obviously, and by far the most used drug is opium, mainly among the older generation, and so that comes through Afghanistan.
It sounds like just your typical developed country.
It's exactly that. Yeah. Actually, one of the things that is surprising for many Americans who first visit Tehran, particularly Tehran, and you arrive in Tehran at the international airport, is that it's a very modern city, and it doesn't feel like you're in the third world or even developing world. It's highways, subways, buses, cars, billboards, electronic billboards, big screen TVs on, as billboards in big traffic circles. It feels very modern. apartment buildings, houses. Of course, there are parts of town which are old, and you get a sense of them being older. But you don't really see mosques everywhere. You don't see people, even though women have to wear headscarves. You don't get this sense of an oppressive kind of like, the idea that we had of, like, for example, Afghanistan and the Taliban and the burqas, women in burqas, or women who you couldn't see at all. Women drive in Tehran. So it is quite modern in that respect.
Houman Majd is the author of The Ministry of Guidance Invites You Not to Stay, An American Family in Iran. He's a New York-based journalist. He was a record producer and a film producer before turning his life to writing. You've been back and forth to Iran quite a few times. Why'd you decide, I'm gonna pick my wife and kid up and we're gonna live there for a year?
It's a good question. In hindsight, maybe not the best idea, but I felt like as a journalist or someone who visits, I mean, even though I'm an Iranian-American, I've lived almost my entire life in America, and so I've never really had that experience of living there. And if I'm going to write about Iran, I just felt like I needed to experience life in Iran as opposed to just coming in for a couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks. Even writing a book about culture and society, I felt I need to go through the same things that every Iranian goes through on a daily basis. And I don't mean just renting an apartment and getting a cell phone, but just, you know, the day-to-day grind of living in Iran, knowing that, of course, I, unlike most other Iranians, I do have the escape. I do have the ability to leave at any time. But I still felt that experiencing life on the ground there would be something that would be valuable for me as a writer.
You know,
as a
writer
who wrote about Iran.
You know, you describe a class of people who are fairly wealthy, kind of disinterested in politics. They don't come across very well in your book. What did you think of those folks?
Yeah, it sort of makes you angry, actually, because there's this wealth of talent and educated, intelligent people in Iran, and at times you feel like Iran's progress has been stunted by these people not taking advantage of the ability they have to move Iran forward. At least there is a class of people in Iran who seem only interested in money, only interested in, the wealth and acquiring as much as possible, and not interested in their fellow countrymen or in their country, really, at the end of the day. So it kind of makes you angry a little bit, particularly when there's a political situation, as there is in Iran, which really requires the people to be united in order to bring about the kind of change that Iran needs and the kind of change that, you know, the new president has promised. If he doesn't have the people behind him or if the people are disinterested, it's not going to happen.
You know, you wrote that Iran is a land of contradictions and Iranian-ness is a mess of contradictory emotions. But you said you continued to feel like you were at home. How did you end up feeling?
Well, at the very end, I felt probably that I really probably don't have a home, a real home. I'm still torn between these two cultures and these two countries, really, the United States and Iran. I do feel at home there, let's put it that way, because the culture is so familiar to me. But it is also, there is a part of the culture that is unfamiliar, that I'm not comfortable with, let's say. And those things make it less of a home. And I feel like I want to come back to America when I'm there. But sometimes when I'm here, I miss Iran and I want to be there. So I think it's this, you know, that's contradictory in and of itself. But there is a sense where I can feel at home there. And of course, I can feel at home in America. But you still are conflicted as a human being when you come from another culture.
Will you go back?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I will. I don't know to live, but I've been back twice since 2011, after President Rouhani was elected in August. Oh, right, he was elected in June, but he was inaugurated in August. I've been there twice for short, very short trips, working with NBC News. And it's always interesting to go back.
Well, Houman Maj's book is really interesting as well. The Ministry of Guidance invites you not to stay an American family in Iran. A lot of great stories in here. I hope we can talk about it again.
Thank you so much.
Oh, then I can just keep going. Oh, look, I don't have to be done yet. I was looking at the countdown clock, and I guess I had it wrong. Oh well, I'm not a professional anymore, Houman. So I got three more minutes with you. So good.
Oh, great. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do that. So one of the things you write about is that some of the people that are your family members are, they wonder what you're doing, why you've even come.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many, particularly among the more educated, more secular classes in Iran, they basically don't like the state of the country, whether it's the economy or the political system. And they're shocked and surprised that someone who lives in New York would want to live in Iran, even for a short period of time. Like, what are you doing here? I mean, what's the point? So I think that, that came as a surprise, but actually not only to the wealthier upper class families, but even regular people. I mean, often my wife would be in a taxi by herself or a bus or something, and people would find out she's American or ask her, and she'd say, "Yeah, I'm from America." They say, "Well, what are you doing here? Are you crazy? Why would you leave America to come to Iran?" So it's a little self-deprecating in terms of their love of their country, but they do love their country. But also, they recognize that they think that life is so much better overseas, that they find it odd that someone would choose to live in Iran with all the difficulties that are associated with that.
How have the sanctions affected the ability of normal people to live their normal lives?
Well, the sanctions have affected people's lives quite severely. Inflation is one thing. The lack of imported goods. Businesses can't do business overseas. So any business that's been involved in international business has had to either close down or reduce staff, so that's added to unemployment. Everything has been affected by the sanctions. And so life is very difficult for the middle class and for the working class. The very wealthy that I described earlier, they seem unaffected by it, unaffected by sanctions. And, you see people with Porsches and even Lamborghinis in Tehran and living in $3 and $4 million apartments. So they're not affected. But the average person is very much affected, and unemployment is sky high. And inflation is terrible. So, people on salaries are doing very poorly. And then there's, of course, being isolated from the rest of the world.
Yeah. You think Rouhani's going to change that?
Well, he wants to. I mean, he's making a serious effort. I mean, the sanctions, he believes, can be lifted if he makes a nuclear deal, which he's trying to do. And I believe President Obama is also trying to do. And that will be the first step in improving the economy and bringing Iran out of that isolation, which I think will be very good for Iran and actually probably very good for America, too.
Houman Maj, thanks for sticking around a little bit, too.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Houman Maj's book is The Ministry of Guidance Invites You Not to Stay, an American Family in Iran. You're listening to The Record on KUOW Seattle.